Luke 24, let's stand together. Luke 24, beginning at verse 13. Luke 24, beginning at verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for the songs that have been sung, for the opportunity, Lord, to give, and Lord, now to look to your word. May it be a blessing and encouragement. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. And we'll pick up reading at verse 17. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted it that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. When he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Dr. John Stout writes, Christianity is in its very essence a resurrection teaching. The concept of resurrection lies at its heart. If you remove it, Christianity is destroyed, unquote. Warren Wiersbe, in outlining Luke 24, calls this chapter, the Son of Man triumphs. All of us like victory. We often root for the underdog. And Christ may have seemed to be the underdog, but in reality, he is the victor. He came to die, and he did die, but he came also knowing that he would triumph over death. The resurrection of Jesus Christ affirms to us that he is indeed the Son of God, just as he claimed to be. It also proves that his sacrifice for sin has been accepted and that the work of salvation is completed. Romans 4, 24 and 25, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Those that trust in him walk in newness of life because he is alive. We don't serve a Savior who is buried, but we serve a risen Savior. And he's in the world today. And may I say this, his desire is that all will come to know him as Savior. Our Lord's resurrection also declares to us that he is the judge who will one day judge the world. Acts 17, 31, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. He arose. Yet it is no surprise then that Satan attacked the truth of the resurrection. The first lie that he spawned, that being Satan, was that the disciples came and stole the body of Christ. This, of course, is absurd, for the tomb was carefully guarded, and it would have been next to impossible for the frightened apostles to overpower the soldiers, open the tomb, and secure the body. But the biggest obstacle is the fact that the apostles themselves did not believe that Jesus would be resurrected. Let me ask you this question. If Peter and Andrew and John and James and Matthew and Nathanael and Thaddeus and Simon the Zealot, if all these disciples, the 11 disciples, believed that Jesus Christ would rise from the dead, where would they have been on Resurrection Sunday? They'd have been at the tomb. They would have been there watching. The guards would have said, "What are you doing here?" And they would have just simply said, "We're just waiting, thank you." But they didn't believe it. How sad it is when we that know the Lord as Savior don't believe that He is victorious and that He will give us the victory. The second lie is that Jesus did not really die on the cross, but only swooned. And when he was put into the cool tomb, he revived. But we know this not to be true, because Pilate himself said, "Is he dead already?" And you remember that the centurion took the spear and stabbed it into the Lord, and from the area around the heart came out water and blood. He was indeed dead. One thing the Romans knew how to do when they executed a man, he was dead. There was no doubt about it. Christ did not swoon. Can you imagine this, that if this was true, that Jesus had only swooned and he's put into the tomb and he is revived? And you think about this, he hadn't eaten probably for a couple of days. He had been beaten beyond measure, and he had hung on a cross, and he now is able to revive himself. Do you think he would have been able to push the rock away? No. We find that he arose from the dead. The stone is simply moved so that we can see that the tomb is empty. Thus, the message of the gospel rests on the death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. And one last thought. Do you honestly think that the disciples would have been willing to die martyr's death if Christ had not arisen from the dead triumphantly? Of course not. Wiersbe outlines Luke 24 this way. Verses 1 through 2, there were perplexed hearts, so he opened the tomb. Verses 13 through 35, there were discouraged hearts, so he opened their eyes. And verses 36 through 46, there were troubled hearts, he opened their minds. And in verses 47 through 53, there were joyful hearts, and he opened their lips. He said, "Go preach. Take the gospel." But if you would, back at verse 13, and we'll read verses 13 and 14. "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all those things which had happened." Emmaus was a small village about 8 miles northwest of Jerusalem. And in your mind's eye, think of all that had occurred, from the triumphal entry to the betrayal to the crucifixion to the burial of Christ. And all these things have happened. And these two men, or a man and a woman, walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, were discouraged, yet they had no reason to be discouraged, for Christ has arisen. Beginning at verse 15, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Isn't it good to have Jesus as our companion? Isn't it good to have him as our friend? And we find that as they walked and as they talked, Jesus, for some reason, picks out these two disciples to walk up beside and begin to talk. Notice verse 16. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? They had heard the reports of the women that the tomb was empty and that Jesus was supposedly alive, but they don't seem to believe their report. Jesus himself had said that he would be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, that he would be mocked and he would be crucified and he would be buried, and on the third day he would rise again. They didn't believe the report. See, they had hoped that Jesus would redeem Israel, as it says in verse 21, but their hopes had been shattered. Like many of us today, we get the impression that these two were discouraged and disappointed because God did not do what they wanted him to do. Now, I'm not going to ask you if you've ever been angry with God because he wouldn't listen to you, but many a person down through the years have said, Lord, I prayed for this. Why didn't you do it? One thing we have to remember, that the Lord is in control. And he doesn't need our advice. We are not to try to counsel the Lord. We're to pray to him, but I believe we should end our prayers with, thy will be done. Thy will be done. Let's continue reading verse 18 and 19. And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? Jesus is graciously walking with them and listening to their complaints. Have you ever complained about something? None of you have you? You've enjoyed every meal you ever had over here at the Outback. Yeah, you've never complained about something you got from Taco Bell. Now, I don't believe that for a moment. Yeah, you've never complained because when you went to Target, what was supposed to be on sale was out of stock. Do you know why I don't go to Target? Because I've never gotten anything that was on sale. It's always a give me some card and say, well, when it comes in, we'll call you. They never call me. I'm not complaining. Oh, yes, I am, because we do that good, don't we? These two are walking down the road. They're going from Jerusalem discussing everything that had happened. And they're thinking to themselves, why? Why did this have to happen? But yet Christ had to die for sinful men. Many believe that Cleophas to have been one of the surnames of Simon Peter. As it says in verse 34, it says, and it hath appeared to Simon. If you combine that with what Paul writes to the church at Corinth, recounting those that had seen the risen Savior, that this is when Peter saw Jesus. But not everybody believes that. Some believe that they were a married couple walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and it was not Peter. The reason that I don't believe it was Peter is found in verse 24. It says, and certain of them which were with us. And if it was Peter, he would have said, well, I went to the grave, and it was empty. But whoever they were walking, and Jesus was willing to walk with them. He was willing to walk with them. They were probably quoting Old Testament prophecies, and they were remembering to the best of their knowledge what Christ had said, and yet they could not in their minds figure out how this could happen. Jesus, who had healed person after person, Jesus who had compassion on people, Jesus who talked like nobody else, how could they come and do this to him? Why? But then there's this touch of humor in verse 19. When Jesus asked, what things? What things? If I were to ask you to use a word to describe Jesus, would you use the word patient? Aren't you glad that the Lord is patient? I guarantee you, he's far more patient than I would be. He's patient. He's patient with you. He's patient with me. He was patient with them. As we read verse 20, they begin to explain to this person that they don't realize to be Christ, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Do you remember that Jesus told the disciples that he had to go to Jerusalem? It was time. And there were a number of times that they wanted to stone him, they wanted to kill him, but it wasn't his time. It was now his time, and he went on purpose to Jerusalem to be arrested and to be crucified. For he had to die for your sins and for my sins. As we continue verse 21, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. May I say this, that Jesus Christ did come to redeem Israel, that he came to redeem sinners, and we'll discuss that in just a moment. Verse 22, yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, and that he is alive. The longer they talked, the more they revealed their unbelief. How hard it must have been for Jesus not to just simply stop and take the two of them by their shoulders and say, you dummies, you that have learned and been taught, why won't you listen? But look at what he says. Verse 25, and when he said unto them, or then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Now, in your mind's eye, you see Jesus walking with these two people. And suddenly he says, O fools. Do you think they were taken back? I mean, what if someone called you a fool? Do you like that? But basically, Jesus was saying, oh, fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Why aren't you willing to listen and believe, he is basically saying. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? And beginning at Moses, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. The Old Testament told them who was coming. And they did not want to believe. They, like most Jews in that day, saw Messiah as a conquering redeemer. But they did not see him as a suffering servant. How many of you have ever said something like this? Show them, Lord, just knock their block off. Haven't you said, Lord, why do you allow pornography? Lord, why do you allow the alcohol companies to continue? Why, Lord, do you allow false prophets to preach on the airwaves? Haven't you ever asked that? I have. Because I know the Lord can stop it if he wants to. They say, well, why doesn't he? Because we're not puppets. We have free choice. You have the choice to do what's right and what's wrong. we find that Jesus came as a suffering servant. Wiersbe says, as they read the Old Testament, they saw the glory but not the suffering. They saw the crown but not the cross. The teachers in that day were not unlike some of the success preachers today, blind to the total message of the Bible. Those that teach and preach, name it, claim it. Or those that say you plus God equal money. They miss what the scriptures are all about. That man was created, that man fall, that they needed a Savior, that Christ came to be the Savior, and he's willing to be the Savior if we will accept him. We are to preach Christ. We are to preach Christ crucified. We are to preach Christ crucified, buried, risen, and coming again. And we need to live our lives as if Jesus Christ could come back today. Wouldn't that be amazing if he came while we were still here in the services? I think that'd be great. You know, lunch may be fine, but I'd much rather spend lunch with the Lord. Wouldn't that be something? Verse 28. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Have you ever been watching a TV program or a movie and there is an actor or an actress and you're saying, what did I see them in before? Anybody, where did I see them before? And you're watching, and suddenly you're not really paying attention to what's going on in the program. You're trying to figure out who this person is. And all of a sudden it dawns on you, oh yeah, that's who it is. Well, here this person had been teaching. I tell you what a great Bible class it must have been to have walked with Jesus on that day. What a great Bible conference as the three of them walked to Emmaus. What a blessing beyond measure. A very intimate Bible study as the three of them are walking and they're listening, but they don't realize who he is. We find that as they drew nigh Emmaus, that he acted like he was going to continue to walk. And as tradition would have it, as the night grew, it was only the polite thing to ask him to come in and to enjoy a meal with them before he went to bed. And they constrained him, saying, please. And so he came in. And he took the bread. And he blessed it. Now I'm going to say this. No matter what the bread tasted like when it came out of the oven, it tasted a whole lot better after he blessed it. And we find that he gave it to them and their eyes were opened. Thank God when our eyes are open to our need. Thank God when we realize I need a Savior. It's how sad it is for those who rebel against the message and they don't want to listen because they've had religion or they've had teaching or they've been disappointed by someone in a church. But when our eyes are open and we see the need and we say, Lord, save my soul. When you believe full-heartedly that you need a Savior, what a blessing it is. And so they said our hearts burned as we listened to what Jesus had to say. I believe it's a blessing to listen to the Word of God spoken. I think it's good when we can go to the house of God. I don't think it ought to be something that we do and say, I really wish I didn't have to do this. No, I think we should realize that, yes, tomorrow's Sunday morning and I'm going to church. I'm going and I'm going to sing the songs of praise and I'm going to be with fellow believers and I'm going to hear the Word of God spoken. And what a blessing it is that we can do this. Notice verse 33. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. Now, how far did I say it was from Emmaus to Jerusalem? 8 miles. When was the last time you walked 8 miles? Okay. And so what are they going to do now? They're going to what? Walk what? 8 miles. When was the last time you walked 16 miles in a day? And it's getting late, maybe dark, but they are so excited about what has happened. They rush back. Would you say the 8 miles back went quicker than the 8 miles the other way? Yes. They went back to tell the wondrous story that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. Blessed are those that have not seen and believe. Now, it's good if you've seen and you believe, but blessed are those who have not seen. Verse 34 saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Oh, they were excited. We should be excited when the word of God is spoken. And in conclusion, verse 36. And as they thus spake, in your mind's eye, the disciples are in this room. Those that love the Lord, the women were there, and other people, they're in this room, and these two have come back. And as they spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. Where two or three are gathered in his name, what? There he is also. May I say this, that Jesus is even here today. He knows your spiritual condition. He knows what you need to do to get things right. Where two or three are gathered, he came and said, peace be unto you. May I say this? Quoting from a track our church used to have, don't miss heaven by 18 inches. You say, well, what are you talking? The distance from your head to your heart. Where you know about Christ, but you've never accepted him. May I say this today, if you've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior, don't wait any longer. At the invitation time, come. And ask him to be your Lord. Shall we stand together? Number 17 will be our invitation song. Have thine own way, Lord. And his way is that we accept him. His way is that we will come to him. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you know the issues that each one of us are dealing with us today. But Lord, the most important issue is that of salvation. And Lord, if there is one here today that has never accepted thee, may they do that, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.